Good morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. That's Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. That's on page 536 if you're using one of the Bibles scattered throughout the chairs this morning. Page 536, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. Well, J.I. Packer, in his famous book, Knowing God, reminds us what wisdom is. He tells us this. In Scripture, wisdom is a moral as well as intellectual quality. More than mere intelligence or knowledge, just as it is more than mere cleverness or cunning. For us to be truly wise in the Bible sense, our intelligence and cleverness must be harnessed to a right end. Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it. Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness. As such, it is found its fullness only in God. What Packer is reminding us is that wisdom is knowing the right thing to do and then doing it. In order to be wise, we must take action. We must do wise things, say wise things, believe wise things. And what are the wise things? They're the things we say, do, think, that stem from God and point us and others back to God and His perfect character. See, the way of wisdom is the way of Jesus. And Jesus tells us in John 10:10, at the end of that verse, he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Proverbs 12:28, we read this, in the path of the righteous is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Now, what is the life referred to in this proverb? Now, one, it is the hope of eternal life, that in Christ, by his resurrection from the dead, when you follow him and your faith is in him, you are set on a path of future resurrection yourself. That when you die in the body, if the Lord tarries, that those who are in Christ will be spiritually present with God at their death. And until the end of the age, at that point, God is going to resurrect them from the dead bodily. And that we will live in our resurrected bodies with God in the new heaven and the new earth for all of eternity. At the end of John 3:36, it tells us whoever believes in the Son of God has eternal life. Now, obviously, that is a part of what this proverb is saying. When it's saying that there is no death, it's not saying that if you just live wisely, you'll never die physically. He's saying that if we live God's way, we submit to God, we follow Jesus, we know him as our Savior, that we will have eternal life, that in him there is no death. And the truth is, it doesn't get any better than that. Eternal life with Jesus is the greatest of all joys. It's the climax of all euphorias. It is what Packer was referring to when he said it's the best and highest goal. And yet, I want us to also see this morning that the journey to paradise is not just meaningless scenery along the way. God intends for us to have life and have abundant life in the here and now. That does not ultimately mean a comfortable life. It doesn't mean an easy life. It doesn't mean a wealthy life or even a healthy life. But it does mean a full life. It does mean a purposeful life. It means that your life is going to have meaning. And in that sense, Christians are meant to have happy and abundant lives. So yes, I want us to see that the promise that we see in this proverb is talking about the eternal promise that God has for those of us who are in Christ, that you will have eternal life if you follow Jesus. But there's more than that. This good news of the gospel says to me and says to you that you can be happy in the here and now. That you can have joy in this life. You can have the abundant life here, and you can have the abundant life now. Now, before we go any further, we need to ask, does the Bible really teach that? Does the Bible really tell us that that we're meant to have an abundant life in the here and now? Well, I believe it does. And I want to prove my point first this morning by using a few proverbs that really kind of make that point through the inverse of my claim. My claim is that if you live the way God intends you to live, you will have a happy and abundant life. But these proverbs show us that if you don't live the way God has intended us to live, if you reject his wisdom, you're going to have a difficult life. It will make life worse and harder. And in that, I believe we also see that the opposite is true, that we follow Jesus in his ways. It does result in a good life in the here and now. In Proverbs 13:15, it tells us this: good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. I really like the KJV translation of this particular verse. It's very helpful. It says this, and it will be on the next slide. It says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. This is God's world. If you refuse to acknowledge God in this world, then you're going to suffer the real life consequences of your sin. If you break the law, you will deal with our legal system. If you sin against others, you will make enemies. If you mistreat your children and your spouse, you will experience family conflict. Obviously, in those kinds of ways, the way of the transgressor is hard. Your sin is going to bring difficulty into your life. And these examples are true, but if we leave it there, it's a little too flat. What we mean that the way of the transgressor is hard. See, your life and my life, it's dynamic. There's lots of different things going on in our lives. It's not as simple as make good decisions and life will go really, really well, and make bad decisions and it will always go really, really bad. We live in a world where sometimes bad people become very, very wealthy. We live in the kind of world where sometimes really good people are really, really poor. That's what I mean. There's a dynamic reality to this world we live in. An ethics professor of mine once said, we long for a black and white world, but unfortunately it's in technicolor, as we talked about the difficulties of sometimes various ethical situations. But I think that's maybe not as so true as ethics, but it's definitely true of these situations. It's changing. There's a lot of different things. People who follow God's ways still suffer from cancer, and they still suffer from miscarriages. They still suffer from mistreatment. They still suffer from job loss, and the list goes on and on and on. And our moral decisions may not have any bearing on those specific consequences, our circumstances. See, I want you to see what I'm not suggesting about living an abundant life in Jesus is that it's this kind of like magic spell. If I just do all the things that I'm supposed to do, then there's going to be this like magical way that life just works out. This is a fallen and a broken world. And you're going to get hit by that fallenness one way or another in this world. And the presence of pain doesn't always stem from disobedience. But brothers and sisters, I still want you to hear this. Our responses to the pains of this world will either be wise or they will be foolish. When you experience pain in this world, you will respond to it. And you will either take the path of wisdom or you will take the path of folly. If we remember back to Proverbs 9, that's what the Proverbs tells us. There are only two paths. You will follow Lady Wisdom, or you will follow Lady Folly. When we encounter struggle, we will have moral choices to make. You might raise your fist to the heavens and curse God, or want to ball up and give up. Or maybe, with God's help, you will take the path of the wise and another wisdom book, the book of Job, 1:21, he says this: naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our choices in these difficult moments matter. You're going to choose what path you're going to take. And I want to warn you that the way of the transgressor is hard. I need to warn you because I love you. It is possible to exasperate bad circumstances. It is possible that in the middle of suffering and pain, that things can get worse when we make bad decisions. But it is also possible that in your deepest valleys, when consumed by the devil's schemes, that you can walk in the path of the righteous. And along that path, you can find that there is no death. You can be like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 9, who says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." In life's difficulties, it is possible to have joy and to experience abundance of life, even in the hard circumstances, on the path of wisdom. When we follow God's ways, we're not saying all the circumstances are going to fall into line the way we want them, but what we are saying is that we are going to recognize that God is using these things to get to that highest end and that highest goal, which is to be made to look like Jesus. We are on a journey, for those of us who are Christians, to a new and better city. And God is sanctifying you. He is making you more and more holy all along the way until one day he will take you up with him and you'll be swallowed up in death and he will finish the work and glorify you and you'll live with him forever. God's promise to you is that you can persevere and find joy even in pain. Proverbs 10:16 says, "The wage of the righteous leads to life, and the gain of the wicked to sin." Proverbs 19:16 tells us, "Whoever keeps the commandment keeps his life. He who despises his ways will die." If we follow God's path, the path of wisdom, then you're going to find life. Yes, eternal life, but life abundant in the here and now. And if we don't, then there is only death at the end of your journey. Your journey will come to an end, my friend. Everyone in this room is going to die. If you do not know Jesus, if you're not living according to his ways, then I implore you to hear this teaching this morning, to hear what the Proverbs are saying to us, and to find life together. Proverbs 13:14 tells us, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." You can turn from the snares of death. Change is possible. But how? We must listen to the wise teaching. So listen to the wise teaching of the writer of Proverbs. Hear what he has to tell us this morning, that you might find abundant life. This is how we find the abundant life. Proverbs 14:12, and it's actually a repeated proverb in 16:25, but it tells us this: "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in its end is the way of death." Here's the reality. If you're trying to find the abundant life, you're trying to figure out, how do I actually experience this abundance that this writer is talking about? Is one, you have to understand that you and I, we live in the way that seems best to us. That's the way you make decisions. That's the way I make decisions. Generally speaking, I don't know anybody who wakes up in the morning and says, "Today, I am going to wreck my life." Like, today, I am going to make some terrible moral decisions. Like, that's the goal of the day. If by the end of the day, if people still love me, I have faith. Like, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, like, "That is my goal." I had a friend growing up who used to tell me, "Josh, no kindergartner, when you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up, says, addicted to meth." They don't say that. But yet, people become addicted to methamphetamines. It happens. And yet, we all know people that we love dearly who have made some decisions where you're like, you have just wrecked your life. We've been around people where it's like, listen, your trouble is so much that I cannot sweep in and just save you from it. Why does that happen? Why do our lives, why is it possible for us to just go that way? Because men and women do the things that seem right to them. And in the way, and then in the end, this is the way to death. Proverbs 3:7 tells us, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This is step number one to living a truly abundant life. You must understand that your way, uninformed by God's word, is the way that leads to death. If you go your own way, not being informed by God's wisdom, you are on the path to death. J.I. Packer, again, is helpful. He asks, what two steps must we take to become wise? And he gives these two. First, we must learn to reverence God. That is, to fear the Lord, as we've just read. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, was what we learned in the beginning of the book of Proverbs. And in this passage we just read in verse 3:7, we are to fear the Lord, to turn away from evil. It's to reverence God, to see him and acknowledge him for all that he is. And two, we must learn to receive God's word. Now, step two is ultimately, it's the outworking of step one. You cannot claim to reverence someone and then ignore their words. Parents, you know that. You don't think, man, my kids really honor me when they don't listen to me when I ask them to clean their room, when they don't listen when I say, hey, come inside for dinner, or when we say, hey, quit hitting one another. When they just ignore your words, what do you feel? You feel disrespected. You feel dishonored. We cannot say, I reverence God and I love God, but his word, my word, I'll just go with mine. If we want to say we truly reverence God, that we fear the Lord, then God's word must be the thing that dictates our lives. That when we come into a situation where his word says one thing, but the way that seems right to us seems like another, Christians have to say, do I fear God? Will I submit my ways to God's ways? This is step one of living the abundant life. It's what is necessary to experience all that God has in store for us this side of heaven. Because if you're not going to go your own way, which way will you go? Now, hopefully the right answer is you want to go God's way. But you can't know what way that is if you do not know his word. Packer admonishes us, and sometimes we just need an old, dead British guy to give it to us straight. And he does here in this paragraph. He says, again, it is to be feared that too many who profess to be Christ never learn wisdom through failure to attend sufficiently to God's written word. Cranmer's Prayer Book Lectionary, which all Anglicans are meant to follow, will take one through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice every year. William Gouge, the Puritan, read 15 chapters regularly each day. The late Archdeacon T.C. Hammond used to read right through the Bible once a quarter. How long is it since you read right through the Bible? Do you spend as much time with the Bible each day as you do even with the newspaper? He died a while ago and wrote this book a long time ago. All right, so you can Instagram, Facebook, right? YouTube. What fools some of us are. And we remain fools all our lives simply because we do not take the trouble to do what has to be done to receive the wisdom which is God's free gift. Jesus quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, and he reminds us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. To live the abundant life, we must learn from our way. The snares of death, we must fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not just acknowledging his existence, but it is the open and joyful acceptance of his authority given to us through his word. That is the fear of the Lord. It's not just to say, yeah, I think God exists, but it's to see that God exists and that he has bearing on your life, that he's in charge, that he has the authority. Proverbs 28:14 tells us, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Earlier, I quoted the first half of John 3:36, and now I need to quote the whole thing. It says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. I'm compelled to quote the whole verse because I have to tell you the whole story. If you fear the Lord, you will be blessed. But if you harden your heart to God, then you will fall into calamity. If you believe in Jesus, not just acknowledging his existence, but understand that he is your authority in this life, you will have eternal life. But if you do not obey the Son, you will die. And God in his wrath will punish sin. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we want to help. If you're here today and you're struggling, you're trying to figure this stuff out, now is the time to figure it out. If you're here and you've never been baptized, and by that I mean biblically baptized, after your conversion, not as an infant, but after you've made a decision to follow Jesus, then I want to encourage you, obey Jesus. Let's talk about what it looks like to be baptized and follow Jesus. You can text me, email me, chat with me after the service. I'm simply saying is this, I want to invite you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to give your life to Christ, to know him, and not just to say that he exists, but to say, I want you to be in charge of my life. I don't want to go the way that seems right to me anymore. I want to live your way. And the only way to do that is with his help, is that you would give your life to Christ. Because as we do this, as we follow Jesus, here's what's truly amazing, is you're going to discover the secret. See, there is a secret to living a life that is abundant. And Jesus tells you what it is. The secret is to not live for yourself. The secret is to live for the sake of others, for God's glory. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. As you live a righteous life, a wise life, you are like the tree of life. You produce fruit, and that fruit can bring life to others. We are meant to live our lives for the sake of other people. And as we live that wise life, wisdom is utilized in our lives to win others, to capture other souls, to win them to the way of wisdom. James 5:19-20 tells us this, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. That's what Christ invites you to do when you follow him. As you reverence him, as you live for him, he's going to change you. And then he's going to use you to see others be changed. It's the amazing part of the gospel. That's the abundant part, is you're not living for yourself anymore. You're not living to find abundance in material possessions. You're not living to find abundance even in your marriage and even in good things like your kids. Or these things are just shadows. They can't satisfy you. But the true and wonderful abundant life is found when we say, I want to lay it all down for Jesus. I want to live for him and for him alone. But here's the tricky part about that. As we sit in our chairs on Sunday mornings and we preach it from pulpits where it's an easy audience to preach it to, but the real hard truth about following Jesus is this. If you're going to follow him and you're going to do the things that I'm suggesting, there is going to be a sacrifice to be made in your life. You're going to either literally or metaphorically spill some blood for Jesus along the way. The question that you're going to have to decide is it worth it? Is it worth it to lay down your life for the sake of Jesus? Listen to what Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. And calling the crowd to him, with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is before the crucifixion. He's saying, I want you to take up an instrument of death and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. Brothers and sisters, that's the call to follow Jesus. He is saying if you're willing to lose your life for the gospel's sake, you're going to find your life. And it's hard because it's counterintuitive. Because the Proverbs are right. There is a way that seems right to men. And it's not the way of God. In your life and in my life, we're going to say, that looks a little easier. I want to do that. And what God's telling us is that's going to lead you to death every time. But my way requires you to lay down your life, to pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. He is saying, I know it's hard to believe, but that's how you're going to find real life and real joy. Brothers and sisters, that's why it requires faith. Because when you look at it for face value, you're going to say, cross or what I think is best. What's going to bring me happiness in this life? You've really got to believe that God's words are true if you're going to pick up that cross and follow him. You got to believe that at the end of death, there really is resurrection. Or else you're going to sit there and you're going to wonder, is the tomb really empty? That is what it takes to live a life that is filled with joy and happiness in the Christian life, is the willingness to say, I'm going to live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself up for me. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live the way he has called me to live. I'm going to close with this. I don't know what will happen with this potential building that we're getting ready to talk about. I can tell you what I really want to happen. But it's not my call. This will not be my decision to make. This is in the Lord's hands. But here's what I can tell you, no matter what. No matter what happens with this building or whatever in our future, we can have an abundant life here at Redemption Hill Church. As we live life together, because it doesn't matter what kind of building we meet in. We must be committed to the glory of God through the service of others, through the service of one another. We're going to preach to our community from anywhere God grants us the space to meet. And we're going to preach the gospel. And by it, I pray, God uses our church to capture souls, that we might be a tree of life. Here's what I want to promise you. And I can make this promise because it's God's promise and not mine. If you give your life to the service of Christ and his church, there will be sacrifice. You will have to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. But I promise you, it will be worth it. I promise you, if you live your life for Christ, and he becomes your God and your King, and he is your what you are seeking for and looking at in this life, you will not get to the end of your life and think, I missed it. You won't. But you will lay on your deathbed one day, and you will consider your life in the ways that you didn't give to the gospel's cause. You're going to regret it. You will stand one day on the cusp of eternity and you'll see that all God has prepared for us in the new heavens and the new earth. And you're going to think, why did I ever waste my time with that garbage? It is all rubbish compared to knowing Christ. I promise you that. There's no comparison to the present sacrifices of this life with God's future glory and eternity. It is worthwhile to give your life to the cause of Christ. It is the worth, worthwhile cause to live for. You will not regret it. You will have sacrifice, but you will not regret those sacrifices in the new heavens and the new earth for all eternity. Let me pray for us. God,